What a great day to worship. The truth is, right, that any day is a great day to acknowledge God's presence in our lives. I thought, you know, how about a happy story this morning? We could all use a good, happy ending story right now in our lives, couldn't we? I stumbled across this story, actually, online, but it was in both the Florida Keys News and the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota News. Over the last couple of weeks, a firefighter from the Twin Cities named Jamie Smith had gone to Fort Lauderdale for vacation with his girlfriend. It had been a rough couple of weeks in the fire department, loss of firefighters, and he just needed a break. And so he and his girlfriend went for a little time in vacation in Fort Lauderdale. And they were scheduled to come back on a Wednesday, but their flight was canceled. And because of the cancellation of their flight, they couldn't get another one, and so it was actually moved to Friday. So they ended up with a whole extra day in the Keys. And they decided, since they had this extra day, to go kayaking along the coastline. So they took out their kayaks. They spent a couple hours kayaking, having a good time. And they were actually on their way back when they were taking on water into their kayak for some reason. They weren't sure what it was. And so they pulled onto a sandbar to flip the boat, get the water out of it, and just see what was happening. And as they pulled up on the sandbar, they saw that there was another boat there that had pulled up on the sandbar. And so they pull up, they're emptying the water out of the kayak and taking a look. And at that moment, Jamie looks out into the water, and he sees a man bobbing up and down with his hands up. So he'd appear with his hands up in the air, and then he'd drop back down, and then he'd come up. And Jamie, actually, there was somebody else on the shore, and he's like, is he drowning? And they looked too, but he didn't wait for an answer. He just grabbed a life jacket, and he dashed into the water as firefighter training kicked in. He dashes into the water. He reaches the man just as he goes under again, and he drags him, puts him on the life jacket, drags him to shore, saves his life. The man that he saved would later tell the story that he'd gotten caught in the current, and he kept bobbing up and down because he was dropping to the bottom and pushing off with his feet to be able to get enough energy to come back up above the water line, and then he'd let his body relax, and he'd drop back down, and the current kept taking him further out, and he was sure there wasn't any hope. He couldn't get anybody's attention on shore. He said he'd actually just given up when Jamie arrived with the life jacket, put it on him, and carried him back. Think about that story for a moment. All the things that had to happen for Jamie to be in the right place at the right time to save this man's life. It's pretty amazing when you think about it, right? There's a flight delayed, a bonus day on vacation, Jamie and his girlfriend deciding to go kayaking on that bonus day, and then all the things that have Jamie being trained as a first responder, trained to look out for those who may be in trouble. And all of this meant that Jamie was right where he needed to be to rescue a man who most likely would have drowned had he not been there. And this is what Jamie said when he was interviewed for the story later. He said, God has a plan and a purpose for everything. There was a chain of events that had to take place and align for me to even be there in Florida on that sandbar at that time, because that was not the plan at all. Not my plan at all, he said. Right place, right time. God using you to do things you couldn't imagine possible. Which makes me wonder, have you ever had a moment in your life when you were just at the right place in the right time? Or maybe the way to ask this question is this. Have you ever had a moment in your life when you were just, you just knew you were where you were supposed to be in that moment? Or maybe you've had a moment where God used your life to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Maybe in a way you expected, you planned for, but maybe in a way that you didn't even expect. Sometimes I think we think of this as luck, or the world will sometimes call it karma. But think about Jamie for a moment. Right? He was trained and he was ready. Sure, there was an odd set of circumstances that led him to be there, but he was trained and he was ready and he was willing to help and he had faith. What if as followers of Jesus, as God's church, part of our calling, our purpose is to be in the right place at the right time? People who are ready to be in the right place at the right time for God to impact or even save lives. Today we're going to explore that question. We're going to ask how we might be a people who more often find ourselves in the right place at the right time to make a difference in our community, in our world. As we do that, would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jim Collins wrote a book a couple of years ago now called Good to Great. Some of you have probably read the book. It was a bestseller. It was a huge influence on the business world. He had actually conducted interviews with successful companies and then compiled all that information to see what was consistent, what stood out in these successful companies or for these successful leaders, what led to the success. In the book, one of the analogies that he used, one of the important analogies that he used for organizations was to have the right people on the bus in the right seats in order to be successful and effective. Now, the church is a bit different from other organizations. We're not hiring or firing or deciding who is on the bus. Jim Collins' book actually talks about that's the first step, is to get the right people on the bus. For us, we believe instead that, right, God brings the people to the bus. But the idea of having the right people in the right seats is intriguing. As we've thought about ministry ahead, as we're thinking about ministry ahead for Clay Church, for the church in the world, we've been talking a lot about calling and purpose. Being in the right seat is really just a way of saying, how do together we help each other find our calling, our purpose, the right seat on the bus? Now, as I thought about that analogy in our scripture this week, which we're going to look at in just a minute from Ephesians, it's a great place to start by thinking about the right place and right time and how God can use us in the right place and the right time. But I wonder if it would help maybe to shift Jim Collins' analogy a little bit for us today. So it's football season. It's kind of a weird football season, and it's strange. It doesn't feel quite like other years, but it is fall and it is football season and the players and teams are on the field. So what if we think of all of us as followers of Jesus, as people exploring faith, as people who want to make a difference in the world? What if we think about all of us, the church, as on the playing field? Figuring out not the right seat in this analogy, right, but the right position on the team for us, where our skill set would work. By the way, if I take this analogy literally, I'm pretty sure that mine is fill the water cooler, or that guy that holds the clipboard, or the woman that holds the clipboard right by the coach and just hands it to the coach when they reach over to look at something. That's probably my role. But with this image in mind. Players on the field for Jesus Christ. Let's see what the Bible has to say about right place and right time and being the church of God. In Ephesians, Paul is helping the followers of Jesus to understand what it means to be the church, to be the people God's calling to make a difference in the world, the body of Christ in the language of the letter. And in chapter 4, Paul, in a few short verses, he gives a vision and mission for the church. What, what it might look like that is the heart of our conversation today. Here's what Paul says, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me invite us to take a little bit of a deeper look. Look a little more closely. Ephesians 4:11, it begins, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people. Right? Paul, as he does in other places, he lays out these gifts. Everybody has a gift. Paul wants people to know. Every person on the team matters. Right? Some people are better at teaching, and if we think about the church, some are better at caring for others. Some are more passionate about justice. Some like to find ways to reach new people. And all of these gifts and passions, Paul says, they all come from Jesus. Jesus equips the people. Jesus equips you. Right? So we start in Paul's vision for the church. In this first line, we realize the leader equips the people. Christ equips the people. The leader helps them find their gifts. Why? Well, we read on, starting at 4:11 again. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Why do we have gifts and passions and talents? Well, that's obvious, right? It's to make a lot of money and be happy. Only it doesn't work that way, right? And this isn't what Paul or Jesus, who Paul is drawing from, says. Paul and Jesus both say, you've been given gifts and passions to make a difference in the world for the works of service. Why, we might ask again? Well, Paul goes on. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We have gifts and talents and passions. You have gifts and talents and passions so that when God has you in the right place at the right time, you can step in and serve as Jesus would. We can in that right place and right time, help somebody that doesn't know it to know that they are loved. So that we, in that moment when somebody doesn't have anyone else to care for them, we as the church, we step in and acts of service and care for them. Right? We can step in to serve as Jesus. We can offer hope to the hopeless. Help people find a sense of peace when things are topsy-turvy in the world. You are God's servant. Ministry happens when you use your gifts and talents, not for yourself, but for others. And ultimately, for God. Right? In this way, the body of Christ, it becomes built up. Or if we put that in words of today, those are Paul's words, the community, when we use our gifts, when we recognize that they are for building up this community that can be a shining light in the world, the community becomes stronger and more unified, more Christ-like. I think to many today, we think about this model of Paul for the church, I think for many today, the role of the church is to hire a pastor and maybe staff for larger churches to serve people. In fact, church pastors and staff, we buy into this idea that it's our responsibility to serve everyone, to care for all the needs. And I confess, I mean, in part that's true. In part that's what leaders in the church are called to do. But I think we also too often lead with this idea that we're the only servants at the forefront. I am called to serve. All of our amazing staff at Clay Church have a call in their lives to serve others. But notice Paul's vision for the church. It's bigger than that. One, the leader equips the people. Right? As Christ equips the saints, the leaders help people find their gifts and passions. And once people have found their gifts and passions, the people do the ministry, the works of service. So the leadership helps people find their gifts and passions, and then the people do works of service. That's the second step. And then the third step is that putting those gifts and passions and talents together, the church is built up. And as the church is built up, the community is built up, reaching unity, in the words of Paul. The fullness of Christ, what Christ wants for the world, the community of love and faith and peace and goodness. So I have a challenge that I want to offer today that I think seems to just leap out of Scripture. And that is, we must reclaim this vision of what it means to be the church. The church isn't a group of staff serving a congregation. The church is a congregation empowered by staff and church leaders to serve a community. Let me say that again. The church isn't a group of staff serving the congregation. Sure, that's a part of it. But the bigger vision of the church is a congregation, a group of people empowered by staff and leaders to serve a community, to transform a community by the love of Jesus. If we go back to the football analogy, we're not called to be spectators in the stands, watching the team do its thing on the field. We're called to get out on the field and be a part of what Jesus is doing in action. And the most exciting part of that, right, the part that should make us just want to jump up and down and dance and get in the game. I love those players on the sideline, you know, players that player that's put in the time and the effort and they're not sure yet, but you know, somebody comes out of the game and it's their chance and they just bound onto the field. That's our invitation, that we have a role to play now in making the community more inclusive and loving and Christ-like. And the good thing is, unlike the football field, we don't have to wait for anybody to come off the field. We can just go on and join them, join this team. We all have a place on the team. And when we take our place on the team, this is what Paul says happens next. Reading on in Ephesians 4, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to be part of a cohesive team that was just clicking, everybody in the right role, finding success, whether that's winning or whether it's just having a good time and growing together. Different teams probably have looked different for you. If you haven't, let me invite you to join the team for Jesus in the world and to experience just that excitement, that fullness of joy that says, I get to be a part of this amazing, transforming thing going on in the world, sharing the love of Jesus. Paul says that when we live into this vision for the church, we'll find a firm foundation for our lives. We'll find that sense of purpose that gives us peace and meaning. He says we'll know hope and peace even in the storms. We'll stop being blown about because we'll have a team of other Jesus followers to anchor us and hold on to us when the challenges seem insurmountable or the storms seem like they're going to blow us over. And at the heart of it all, Paul says, when we join this team, when we get out on the field, we'll find true communal love, the kind that doesn't waver when things get tough. We'll find unconditional love. And we'll grow together in that love. William Bridges teaches corporations and nonprofits on leading change. He's written a number of books. And he says that there are four P's to a successful path through changing times. And those four P's are purpose, picture, plan, and people. At Clay Church, our purpose is our mission. It's everything that we do as a church is directed toward walking with more people toward a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, transforming lives with the love of Jesus, more lives. And our picture at Clay Church is our vision. God has invited us to see a future where every person is embraced in the love of God. Everybody we encounter is embraced. To see a picture where passions are ignited, where the people of Clay Church find their talents and gifts and passions are ignited to serve where God calls and make a difference. And the picture is that as that happens, Christ's love will expand into our families and into our community and ultimately into the world. Ephesians today invites us to look at those last two P's with our purpose and our picture in mind. What's next is how Jesus is gonna help us live into the plan and find the people who want to make a difference together in the world. Later today, you're going to receive, and we'll post it to the website and Facebook in case it doesn't reach your email for some reason. You're going to receive a short video that introduces the steps that we'll be taking in the next few months with church leadership toward a strategic plan. The plan is going to represent a way forward for Clay Church as we continue to live into our mission and vision over the next couple of years. And here's why we're sharing the introduction to this strategic planning process now, because you are part of the plan. We don't have all the details yet. We believe that God's going to lead us into those details and exactly what it's going to look like. But here's what we do know. We do know that you have a part to play. Every one of you has a part to play. As Paul reminds us, we all have a role on the team. Christ has given us gifts. Christ has given you gifts. And we're invited to use them in service and to see God at work. There is ministry ahead. That's what we've been talking about really all month at Clay Church. There's no doubt about it. God has people for us to reach and love and embrace, and God has things for us to do and families and communities to transform by that love. There is ministry ahead, and there is a seat on the bus and a role on the team, a position on the field for you and for me. And this is our prayer, my prayer, that in these months ahead, as uncertain as the future may look to any one of us right now, my prayer is that we'll say yes to the invitation of Jesus to step onto the field, to find our talents and gifts and passions, and not to wait, but to jump in, to be that exuberant player who is ready to be transformed by being part of something big, bigger than himself or herself, accepting an invitation to, to create a more inclusive and Christ-like community with friends, with fellow Clay Church people by our side. Amen.